Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 397 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We got interesting facts. You're going to learn some stuff that is fun, hopefully fun. I don't know Michael and Nick's fact. I'm assuming it's fun because that is the whole point of this podcast. Michael, do you have a fun fact?
I'd like to think so. I actually have two fun facts, and I'm going to let you guys choose.
Ooh.
Go on.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Okay, we can talk about things that are either, that basically in my world, polar opposites of the other, of each other. Mm. So we have the gym or Netflix.
Those are opposite ends of the extreme. I agree.
I come prepared.
Yeah. Honestly, Michael, I thought about when you said opposite, I thought when you said opposite end of the extreme, you were going to say you and being correct, but I was
mistaken. Oh, it's good to be back.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Netflix because I've watched a lot of Netflix. However, I have not been to the gym. So I think I'm more versed on Netflix than on gym.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to choose the gym because I miss going to the gym and I really would love to hear more about what I'm missing.
Okay, let me flip a coin here. We're going with Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm shocked that that's the way that coin flip went.
So, for those of you listening at home, I really did flip a coin, I promise.
Uh-huh.
Definitely, yes. We saw it here on the Zoom.
So, I don't know if you guys heard, but the four men, the Guinness World Record for the longest abdominal plank position was just broken.
I did hear about that, yes.
Ooh.
I have recently started going to the gym. My gym is very careful about everything, spraying everything down as we go through. So I have started going to the gym again and realized how much, how out of shape I've become in the last couple months pretty quick. So we've been doing planks. And do you guys, when was the last time you, either of you, did a plank?
Yesterday. Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all roughly in the same boat. About how long was your guys' plank?
60 seconds, and I was dying at the end.
Okay. Lindsay, I bet you got that beat.
Yeah. I usually can do like 90 seconds to 2 minutes on a good day. I don't think I've hit in like the 5 minute mark, but I'm okay.
I remember back in November, my gym had Planksgiving, where everything it ended with basically as long as you could go after class. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Ooh, so just keep in mind that you pay to do that. So.
Yeah.
The thing that pisses me off.
No, I pay for somebody to yell at me to do it. I'm not going to do it on my own.
The thing that pisses me off the most, having children, having especially a 6-year-old who has like 1% body fat with an 8-pack, because, you know, he's 6 and he hasn't eaten enough food to get the shape of his old man. Asher is watching his iPad, right? On the coffee table. He's got his elbows on the coffee table and he's sitting there lying, watching his iPad with his toes on the couch. So he's just sitting in a plank position, watching his iPad, not even thinking about it. And I sat there and it was probably a minute or two before I realized he was doing it. So I started a timer on my phone just to time it. And after another minute and a half, I then joined him doing a plank, and I lost that after about like 45 or 50 seconds or whatever it was. And when I fell, he looked at me like, what are you, like, that was the first time he acknowledged that I was even there. He's like, what are you doing? So he was like 5 or 6 minutes into a plank, and I'm just losing my mind over what he's doing. And he doesn't even realize he's doing it. It's ridiculous.
So we definitely know that this world record, which, Michael, I'm assuming that's what you're asking. What's the world record?
That would be my question to the, we'll say to the nearest minute.
Okay, I was going to say, I feel like doing anything over hours would be kind of tough, but I could be wrong. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody held a plank for 3 hours and you're just the rippest person alive, but I don't know. I guess maybe it depends how high your butt is in the air. Like, at some point, your abs are going to fail. So I'm going to say close to an hour, and I'm going to go 57 minutes.
Okay.
That's a good guess, but I you asked if we had seen this before. I actually did see this. Yeah. It was like a 60-year-old former Marine that did it, right? From Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was oh God, what was it? It was like 20 minutes and 20 seconds. It was whatever it was like 20 and 20 or 10 and 10 or whatever it was. I remember the minutes and the seconds were the same. I'm going to say 20 minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay. I will tell you, you are both wildly under.
Under?
Okay.
Wow. Under. Okay.
So then you should have said hours then for the unit of measure, right?
I said nearest minute because it's hours and minutes, but
okay.
Yeah.
Three hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
So, Nick, you'll
give you one
minutes.
More guess.
No, if I'm so far off and I heard about it, I don't want to embarrass myself by making another guess. Okay.
So, Nick, you were kind of close. The minutes and seconds were the same.
Okay.
So, to the nearest minute.
I've got to work on my critical reading skills, I guess.
Right.
My retention.
8 hours and 15 minutes and 15
what?
Seconds.
I'm sorry, what?
No. Yeah.
It's like I say with a lot of things, I can't do anything for that period of time. Like
eight
just
hours.
One thing. Like I can't sleep for 8 consecutive hours without doing anything.
I can sleep for 18 hours.
I would have had to pee 3 times
right.
in that 8 hours at least. What? Oh my gosh. You know, I feel for the Guinness people too that have to go like with their little clipboards and watch this guy. Like were they saying, hey, you got to lower your butt. You got to lower your butt. Like what's the... Like how much of the plank position was it in? Also, you guys remember when planking was a thing and people would just lay down in this? What a time. How are we going to tell our future historians about that? You know,
I, you know what? I think that's going to be overshadowed by a couple of more recent events.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. 2020. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, Nick, do you have or go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say his name is George Hood. He had actually previously set the record back in 2013 at just over 3 hours, and then later lost a head-to-head plank challenge. I got to be honest, the clip we're going to use is 2 minutes. It's a 2-minute video from Guinness. It's intense.
Yeah.
It's like the form looks pretty damn good, but he looks like he's hurting at 45 minutes in.
And then he held it for another 7.5 hours?
Exactly.
Do they show a picture of him without a shirt on? I want to see what he looks like.
Oh, absolutely. Here, I'll drop the link in for you guys
okay,
right now.
Okay, excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so Nick, do you have a good segue from that?
I can make a segue from that, sure.
All right.
So while you're planking for 8 hours, Lindsay, you said you'd have to go to the bathroom multiple times during.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I would be so well hydrated, you know?
Right. I would assume during an 8-hour period, you'd probably have a meal, right? Mm-hmm. You have to eat in order to keep your strength up in that scenario. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, what do you do to stave off boredom? Like Michael said, you go to the other end of the extreme, you put on Netflix or something, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you were doing this challenge and you went to Netflix and you put on, I don't know, maybe The Matrix. That'd be a good movie to watch. Maybe you watch the whole series with a couple of minutes left over afterwards.
Sure.
And what you would notice during The Matrix movies and what you're all very aware of is that the actual like view of The Matrix, right, from outside, when you're looking through the computer screen into The Matrix, all you see are those like falling green characters, right? The mm-hmm. Matrix rain is what they call it. The Matrix rain is, it actually means something. There's actual code in that Matrix rain.
So the
rain of code that is iconic to the Matrix movies is actually a Japanese recipe for what food?
Oh, I have heard this before. I have heard this before, but I could not tell you. This is the fun thing where like I know that I've heard this interesting fact and it's just not coming to my brain. Oh, this is the worst. This is
I
the worst feeling.
I've never heard this before.
Well, then start throwing out Japanese recipes, Michael.
I'm trying to think of the last time I even saw the Matrix movies, because here's the thing. If I was a filmmaker and for that Matrix rain, I was going to use the recipe as that Matrix rain, I would include that dish in the movie somehow.
Oh, okay.
It's a good
just
thought.
Kind of as a, just as a subtle nod of like, oh, in the event anybody gets this, it's, yeah. Nick, you're a big fan of Psych. It's the pineapples in Psych.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the Easter egg. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm trying to think, of a dish that I saw in The Matrix and go backwards from there. The only thing I can think of any kitchen utensils and whatever was the spoon, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's scene with Cypher eating the steak when he's talking to Agent Smith.
Good point. It's also been a good 15 years since I've seen The Matrix.
Sure.
The Matrix is always on those lists of, like, really the villains weren't really the bad guys. Like, you know, those robots could have just left the human consciousness in the, like, you know, bubbles that were, like, harvesting just our comatose energy over time. But instead, they're like, okay, here's this alternate world that they can go pretend to exist, right? Like, would you really want to get woken up if, like, hey, I'm just living, like, if you're a millionaire billionaire in the world in The Matrix and you get woken up to find you're getting an egg harvested for your energy, you're like, I'm pissed, yo.
Right,
I'm
on, put me back
team
in.
Robot. Yeah, I'm on Team Robot, plug me back in. But then I guess if your life's kind of a crappy existence, you're like, what the hell? You can program me anything? And I'm like,
yeah, everybody could be a millionaire.
Yeah, seems wrong.
You can program anything and we got to live through COVID.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. So what do I know? I know that as soon as you say this, I'm going to be mad because it's going to trigger that I know that it was in my brain somewhere, but I've pushed out a lot of relevant information, I guess, and it is lost to the ether. I think that I'm going to go with a very traditional Japanese food, but I've never made it. So I don't know if it's even like a very complicated recipe, but when I think of what I always get at Japanese restaurants and sushi places, I always get miso soup. So I'm going to say a miso soup recipe.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing.
No, what?
I was. Just because I was doing the same thing. Okay, Japanese recipe, what, and then miso. So I will say a salmon roll.
Salmon roll. Okay. So closest without going over, your winner is Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, so the guy who created the graphic was he took one of his wife's Japanese sushi cookbooks and took all of the lines from all the different pages and just sort of superimposed them over top of each other. So it's actually just multiple recipes for sushi. They're all sushi recipes, all sort of overlaid on top of one another. So that's why when you watch The Matrix, you have this subliminal craving for sushi.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
You know what? It's exactly what happened. My brain knows that story and I'm sad about it, but such is life. It's just predictable. You know, it's going to happen.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to try to segue from this. So in The Matrix, you know, it can be kind of scary. It can be a little bit horror-esque. Perhaps, you know, makes you a little bit nervous, much like if you were in the murky waters and you couldn't see any electric eels there. That's kind of something that's a little bit scary. You know, Halloween's coming up this week. So my fact is about an electric eel, which is not utilized as a Halloween staple, and it really should be. So that's my platform. Vote me, 2020. So this article is from a little bit ago, but it was so interesting that I had to share it. So there's an electric eel, Electric Miguel. He's chilling in a Tennessee aquarium, and they actually hooked up his tank so that his naturally occurring shocks powered what? So I'd like to know, Miguel the electric eel, they plugged, you know, his tank, they hooked it up, and he powered something. So I know that that's vague, but I would like to throw the question to you guys as to what do you think an electric eel can power? Miguel, good guy. He's got a great Twitter presence.
So Nick, thinking your way through this.
Yeah.
What size of device, machine, whatever it happens to be,
can an electric eel, how many watts of power, how many joules of power does an electric eel produce?
Do you think it could do about a light bulb? Do you think about a light bulbs?
I think that an electric eel can produce enough energy to power something reasonable.
Okay.
Right? I would the first thing that came to my mind was the little treasure chest and diver with the bubbles Like he was powering his own tank, right? He powered the filter, he powered the light, he powered the little bubble treasure chest with the diver, right? Like that's he was a self-sustaining. They would drop the fish food in and he would power the rest of his habitat. That's sort of what came to mind.
Really interesting idea.
Yeah, and I think an electric eel can produce enough power to maintain their own environment. Sure, let's go with that.
Honestly, just because of where my head's at these days, the first thing I thought of was, Nick, you had that little box on your thing that when you flipped a switch, the finger would come out and unflip the
flip
switch.
Yeah, close it off, yeah. Turn it off, yeah.
That was my first thought.
That makes sense.
Cool. All right. Well, these are both guesses. Well, Michael, let's see.
I was going to give a real guess at a certain
give
point.
Give me it.
I was going to say like a portable radio.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Portable radio. Ooh, with the music.
Oh, so he's powering his own soundtrack over the sound system in the room that he's in.
You could also buy these little Raspberry Pi, like these little mini computers. If he has a Twitter following, maybe he's just powering
his own tweets. Yeah, no, that makes sense. What about if, so Lindsay kept saying Halloween. What about the, you've all seen like the Christmas houses with like the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, like timed to the Christmas houses. I saw one with a Halloween house that was doing the same thing. And we'll drop this in the link dump. But yeah, maybe he was powering like the aquarium to do like a Halloween show.
I think a very dimly lit
Halloween show.
I think I have a thought. He is powering his own live streamed webcam.
Ooh, that's good.
Not happening, it should be.
I don't care what the answer is. We're better at figuring out what he should be powering than what he's actually powering. If we're not right, we should be.
I have to give this one to Nick. He is the closest in terms of what was happening.
You're so kidding. You were right. It's his own environment.
No, it was a Christmas tree. So he was powering a Christmas display, Christmas tree lights. And you can see as, you know, he gets excitable, the tree gets brighter. And I also should have, Michael, segued. This was the most perfect segue in the history of time. Electric eels use 3 abdominal organs to produce these electricity. They're specialty organs. They take up a significant portion of their body, like close to 70-80%. So it's the abdominal organs producing the electricity. And I should have gone from planks into my electric eel fact.
I bet you Miguel could do a 10-hour plank just to put the marine in his place.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, electric eels can produce 600 to 800 volts. They just discovered a new species that did 860. They can grow up to like 8 feet long. They're cool creatures, and I just want them to be more mainstream. So I would like to nominate that for our secret phrase of make electric eels mainstream. Make it happen, okay? That's the secret phrase. Use it in whatever live trivia events that you're playing because we
miss. Even if they're not ours.
Yeah, even if they're not ours, just say your phrase, see what happens. We don't know either podcast. But that's it. This is the episode. You learned some stuff. We had some fun. We'll be back next week. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we don't know either.
Bye.